This morning, our New Testament reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7, verses 1 through 10. After Jesus had finished all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. A centurion there had a slave whom he valued highly and who was ill and close to death. When he heard about Jesus, he sent some Jewish elders to him, asking him to come and heal his slave. When they came to Jesus, they appealed to him earnestly, saying, "He is worthy of having you do this for him, for he loves our people. It is he who built our synagogue for us." And Jesus went with them, but when he was not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to say to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. Therefore, I did not presume to come to you, but only speak the word, and let my servant be healed. For I am also a man set under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd that followed him, he said, "I tell you, not even in Israel have I found such faith." When those who had been sent returned to the house, they found the slave in good health. This is the word of our Lord. This morning, we heard the story of how Jesus healed a centurion slave. It's an interesting story, lots of twists and turns, things that leave you a little puzzled, make you ask a few questions. For instance, in this passage, we wonder why the centurion was so concerned about his slave. Most people who owned slaves didn't really care about them. They weren't interested in their well-being. Or why did Jesus decide to take pity on a centurion slave and heal him? Centurions worked for the Roman army. Therefore, they were the entity fighting tirelessly against Christ. But yet, Jesus still decided to help his greatest opponent. And how was the centurion able to enlist the help of the Jewish elders? He was supposedly an oppressor of the Jewish people. But yet, they did what he asked of them. And he pleaded on his behalf to Jesus. These are just some of the puzzling questions from our scripture reading this morning. But what was most interesting to me in this passage was not only that Jesus did take pity on his greatest opponent's slave, but that Jesus was impressed with this Roman soldier. Some translations say that he was even amazed by his faith. He held him up as an example for all the rest of Israel. At the end of our passage, Luke says, after Jesus heard the words of the centurion, he was impressed, and he turned to the crowd that was following him, and he said, "I tell you, even in Israel, I haven't seen faith like this." When Jesus turned to the crowd and said, "Even in Israel, I've never seen faith like this," that means that he turned to people like Peter, James, and John and said these things. He turned to them and essentially said that it didn't matter that they had left their nets and their friends and their family to follow him, because Christ was more impressed with what the centurion had done. It means that when Christ turned to the crowd and said these things, he turned to people like Matthew, the tax collector, another man who had made great leaps of faith to follow Christ. And he said that he was more impressed with what the centurion had done. When you sit back and think about the people that were present in those crowds, the people who had demonstrated such courageous and devout acts for Christ, it leaves you wondering, what is so impressive about this guy? What makes Jesus say that the centurion has so much more faith than Peter, James, or John, or even Matthew? What makes this centurion an exemplary centurion? And if you comb through our passage, you can pick up on a few different ways in which this centurion was a little bit different. You can see what it is that makes him an exemplary centurion. One reason this Roman army official was exemplary was because he worked for Christ. When the Jewish elders went to Christ to plead on behalf of the centurion, they told Christ that despite the fact that he was affiliated with the Roman army, he loved the Jewish people, that he had actually paid for and built their synagogue. So in a day and age when there was great tension between the Roman government and Jewish Christians, this Roman army official used his own time and talents and resources to build a synagogue for the Jewish community. He built a structure for people to come and learn more about God, for Christ to be able to come to and share his teachings with others. In a day and age when this centurion would have been expected to demonstrate loyalty to the Roman government, he demonstrated loyalty to Christ and worked on his behalf to further Christ's ministry and teachings. Another way in which this centurion was a little bit different from the average soldier, what made him exemplary, was that he was humble. In verse 6 and 7, the centurion talks about how he didn't deserve to have Christ come under his roof. He went on to say that he didn't even consider himself meeting or worthy enough to meet with them face to face, which is why he had enlisted the help of the elders. In a day and age when the Roman government was believed to be the most powerful entity by worldly standards, this Roman army official understood that Christ was much more important, much more powerful. In a day and age when power came through your rank in the Roman army, this Roman army official understood that his rank was nothing in comparison to Christ. What made this Roman army official different from the rest and exemplary was that he exalted Christ. He humbled himself. The third way in which this centurion was an exemplary centurion was because he believed in Christ. He understood his power and his abilities. In verse 7, the centurion told Christ that he didn't have to actually come to his house to heal his slave, because he knew that all Christ had to do was say the word, and his servant would be healed from afar. This Roman official understood the magnitude of Christ. He understood the power he possessed. He knew that it didn't matter if Christ was present or not, that he could still heal his slave. This is something that most of the disciples had a hard time understanding and grasping. For the most part, the disciples were constantly doubting Jesus. They weren't able to understand the magnitude of Christ. That's how Thomas got his nickname, Doubting Thomas. That's why Peter sank when he tried to walk on water. He doubted the power and ability of Christ. This Roman army official was exemplary because he didn't doubt. He understood the magnitude of Christ. He truly believed in and trusted in Christ's power and ability to help him. So these are a few ways in which this Roman army official was different from the rest and what made him an exemplary centurion as he demonstrated faith in Christ. These are a few reasons why Jesus turned to the crowds and held him up as an example. Christ wanted to make it very clear that it wasn't just about walking away from your nets and following him. It wasn't just about sitting at his feet and listening to his teachings and following after him like the disciples did. Christ wanted the crowds to know that in addition to all that stuff, it also takes working for Christ, using your time, your talents, your resources to further Christ's ministry. It takes being a humble follower of Christ, believing that Christ is the most powerful entity in the world, despite what worldly standards may say or deem to be more powerful. And it takes truly believing in Christ, trusting and believing in his power and ability to help during difficult times. Today, on this Memorial Day weekend, as we all celebrate and participate in the Memorial Day festivities, and as we look forward to another day of celebration, we memorialize our soldiers. We remember all the soldiers who fought tirelessly to defend this country. We remember the individuals who walked away from their friends, their family, everything they knew to protect us, to provide us with freedom. We remember the men and women who didn't return. We remember their families that still grieve their death. We remember the young men and women who are still actively serving, those who currently go without seeing their loved ones or feeling the safety and security of their own home, or those who have recently returned and struggle mentally and emotionally because of their time in the service. This Memorial Day weekend, as we remember these things, as we pray for these individuals and their families, our soldiers serve as a great comparison to our scripture reading. Much like the exemplary centurion from our story, those who have served our country not only exhibited bravery and courage, but they exhibited humility as they left their nets to answer the call and to defend our country. They humbly set their own interests and wants aside as they left family, friends, and the comfort and safety of their own home to fight for us. And every day they were out there, they were working for us and for this country so that we could have freedom and certain luxuries in life. They sacrificed so much because they believed in this country. They believed in what this country stands for and in preserving the future of our country. Today, as we celebrate Memorial Day, we not only remember the fallen soldiers and the young men and women who still serve, but we look to them as an example as well. We look to them as an example of what true faith in something entails. It entails humility, hard work, and truly believing in what it is that you're working for. As I mentioned earlier, we are going to be celebrating the sacrament of baptism in just a little bit. And as we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, we're not only rejoicing about the fact that there's a new baby that's being named in the presence of God, but we celebrate also because it gives us an opportunity to remember our own baptism. It provides us with an opportunity to remember the vows that we once took, to renew our baptismal vows in our hearts. As children of God, our faith journey is a continuous journey, one in which our relationship with God waxes and wanes. There are times when we are much closer to God, and there are times when God is the least of our priorities. Today is a day to realign those priorities in life, to re-examine our faith once more, to readjust our lives so we live and act as true disciples of Christ. This morning, we are reminded of what an exemplary faith looks like. We are reminded that it entails working for Christ, demonstrating humility, truly believing in the magnitude of Christ. Let us keep in mind the examples that we heard today, that of our American soldiers and that of our Roman soldiers, as we remember and renew our own baptismal vows. May we all strive to work harder for Christ, giving more and more of ourselves each day. May we maintain a humble posture at all times, and may we trust and believe in Christ's power and abilities. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.